Good morning. Thanks, Melissa. While this comes up, I just wanted to first thank both the CDC and the CSTE for funding. As Melissa said, I'm part of Project Shine, and I'm a health system integration program member at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. And I just wanted to give a little story first to let you know I've only been in Wisconsin for about 11 months. My family and I moved there from Colorado. And I came in with informatics capability as a veterinary epidemiologist working in infectious disease surveillance and predictive modeling. And I got to Wisconsin and met with my supervisors, and the project that I was placed into was to improve local data collaboration, data sharing with local health departments on a fetal and infant mortality project with the maternal and child health team. And I just paused when I got there and I said, well, but I'm a veterinarian and I work in infectious diseases. And they said, yeah, well, you're going to switch that and work in maternal and child health and do a femur project. So I had a very large amount to learn in a short period of time. And as Kelly will also attest to, our entire time under our fellowship was under the haze of the Ebola outbreak, and I'm in Wisconsin, and we're also in the avian influenza outbreak. So the entire time I've been at the health department, our whole team has been kind of scrambling and moving in every which direction. So the fact that anything got done is sort of amazing. Just to give you kind of the big picture, 30,000 foot overview, I'm going to go over a background of what fetal and infant mortality review and child death review means, give you some baseline statistics from the state of Wisconsin, and then I'm going to go into kind of what I did, the methods of my project, which was really working closely with the local health departments to understand how they perform their femur team reviews. We really needed to identify the data needs from the local health departments and get a capture of their data barriers. And then through that process, we reformatted our goals. We really rescoped this project once we'd gone through a lot of interviews. And then I'm going to let you know what our technical solutions are and how we're planning on using the case reporting system and tell you some limitations of this project as well. In Wisconsin, a fetal death is defined as the loss of a fetus 350 grams or more, or the loss of a fetus after 20 weeks of completed gestation. And this is calculated from the last normal menstrual period, predicting the date of delivery. So commonly this would be called a stillborn baby. So it's important to understand that fetal deaths are not a miscarriage in the first 12 weeks or first portion of pregnancy. These are a later term loss of pregnancy, again from 20 weeks on or weighing 350 grams if the gestational age is not known. In contrast, an infant death is the death of a child before the first birthday if the child was born alive. This does not calculate into any gestational age or weight. So potentially this may be the loss of the death of an infant even earlier, say 18 or 19 weeks, if that has any signs of life. So from the moment of birth until 1 year of age is considered an infant death. And the infant mortality rate is the number of infant deaths per 1,000 live births in a geographic area, typically given on an annual basis. And the infant mortality rate is a nice standardized comparison that can be used and is used worldwide to give a capture of maternal and early childhood care parameters. A child is defined as any human being under the age of 18 by the WHO. So a child death is the death of a child from birth until 18 years of age. It's important to understand that a child death includes infant death. Infant would be from birth to 1 year of age. A child death is from birth until 18 years of age. For the purposes of this project, we're working on infant deaths. There are two types of teams in most states that can review the loss of either fetal and infant mortality or a child death review. Both of these in Wisconsin are community-led teams. Some states have both femur and child death review teams guided from the state agency. In Wisconsin, we're a home rule state, and most of our public health efforts occur at the local level. And that's true for both FEMR and CDR. They're community-led teams. They investigate the ages appropriate based on the definitions I just gave you. For a FEMR investigation, the presentation that occurs at the end of a review is for de-identified data, meaning they just say an infant died. They really try to protect the identity of the parents. Sometimes the race is obscured from that if it would lead to an identification. Any components as far as attending doctors, hospitals that were related are de-identified during the presentation. And a FEMR really looks carefully at a lot of maternal health factors because we know that premature birth, poor access to maternal care, prenatal care, are large contributors to infant deaths in our state. Both FEMR and CDR are designed to lead to local action and to reduce preventable deaths in infants and children. In this box, I just want you to look on the right-hand side for the fetal and infant mortality review, the FEMR teams. Again, in Wisconsin, they're going to be reviewing the loss of stillbirth babies from 350 grams or 20 weeks of gestation and all infant deaths. And those teams are typically comprised of public health professionals, community members, they may have pediatricians, there may be law enforcement involved, but overall the goal is to improve maternal and fetal health in that community. Moving forward to statistics on Wisconsin, the state is just shy of 6 million people. We're divided into 72 counties. There are 99 different local health departments, including 13 tribal jurisdictions in Wisconsin. And in the last few years, we've been seeing about 350 reported fetal deaths and 425 infant deaths annually. Although we are aware, and most jurisdictions will agree, that fetal deaths are likely underreported. This is a map of our beautiful state of Wisconsin. In the blue colors, you will see that we have 8 active fetal and infant mortality review teams. Those teams are concentrated in the southeastern portion of our state. Those teams cover about 2.2 million people, but represent about 48% of the infant deaths in Wisconsin. In contrast, we have 48 child death review teams. They cover about 51 counties in Wisconsin and about 90% of the population. The northern and western counties don't have a lot of people in them in Wisconsin. To give you an idea of trends over time, these are going the right direction. As we all know with surveillance, we like it when the line goes down and to the right. We've had a decrease or an improvement in both fetal and infant deaths. That's the slide or the chart on the left-hand side. Infants are in the red boxes, and the fetal deaths are in the kind of bright green triangles. Those are the actual numbers of deaths per case or per year. On the right-hand side are our rates, and the one that I would like you to concentrate on is the red line on the bottom, which is our infant mortality rate, which over the last 25 years we've seen drop from about 8.5 infant deaths per 1,000 live births to just over 6, although we do recognize that there's a very strong racial disparity in this in the state of Wisconsin. All right, that wraps up kind of the background. So what I did to understand where this project should go was to interview local health departments that had FEMR teams to try to compile a list of their data needs and to understand the common data barriers to these teams. I started with the Children's Health Alliance of Wisconsin, which is a group that's funded out of several different grants and supported by the University of Wisconsin School of Health. They oversee and guide both our child death review and FEMR teams in Wisconsin and really do a lot of work as far as holding compendiums and keeping these teams active, helping with training, and helping with build community support. I then met in person with each of the 8 local health departments to discuss their data access, and that took a lot of time driving around Wisconsin. That's what I did pretty much all of September and October, was met with these 8 local health teams, and was then invited to several of the FEMR meetings that they had, and that was very informative for me. The goal of this was really to aggregate kind of common data sources and understand their data barriers. So it's sort of a hodgepodge as far as how FEMR teams even know that they have a case. How does a team know that there has been a death of an infant in their county? This is all over the place. They may be reading obituaries. There may be voluntary reporting that goes on. A family that has just lost their baby may call the health department for other services or just to let them know. They may hear a word of mouth if it's a smaller community. We do have some support groups where they pick up members and really try to get information that way. A lot of our health departments talked about just scanning Facebook constantly and seeing if anyone mentioned anything about lost my baby, don't know what to do. They really use social media as a tool. Newspaper articles come out if there was a trauma or an accident or if it was covered in the newspaper. So this was a known difficulty that FEMR cases don't always know about their cases. We do know that there are several sources that are needed for a FEMR team to do a proper investigation, and this really starts with vital records. They need information from the state, from the death certificate and the birth certificate data. Other sources will likely include an autopsy report if an autopsy was done. The family interviews are a huge component, and as is getting access to medical records, and this includes both the prenatal and maternal records and the pediatric records. In some cases, law enforcement or child protective services may be involved. When I asked these teams about the data barriers, that was a longer portion of our conversation. These teams were very frustrated from lack of information from the state health department and just kind of an absence overall at a state level of collecting and reporting of data. There was a lot of misinterpretation or varied interpretation from the hospital records, what could be shared with the health department. There was varied access to electronic medical records, and again, they may be looking for prenatal care, pediatric records, immunization records, and FEMR teams had varying ability to get that data. Overall, they reported that it was just hard to get the data in time. A general guideline is that a FEMR investigation should be initiated within 60 days of the death of a child, and sometimes these teams didn't even know about these cases for months. So the timely access to data was a common barrier. And the multiple jurisdiction, we have had to work through some problem solving in the fact that the child's county of residence may be different than the place of incidence if there was an accident or an event that occurred, and even different from the county of death. And a recent example of a FEMR investigation that I went to was a family that lived in Dane County, that's where I am, that's where Madison is, but had been on vacation in the northern part of the state, which is very common. A lot of people go up north for the summer. The child had drowned, was transferred to a tertiary care center, and so there were 3 different counties involved in that: county of residence, the county of incidence, and the actual county of death. And so we have had to sort out which jurisdiction is responsible for performing that investigation. From the Vital Records Office, that's within the state Department of Public Health, for a fetal death, we produce a fetal death record. That's a modified death certificate. For an infant death, we need information to the local teams containing data from both the death certificate and birth certificate data fields. And for a child death, 1 year and above, a death certificate is the data that they need access to. So for the purposes of my project, we started with infant death because it seemed like the most complicated. If we could figure that out, the other two should roll along relatively easily. I'm going to go into the results. And again, we kind of rescoped this project once I was able to meet with the local health departments. Our goals now were to assist the local teams to initiate the process for the fetal and infant mortality review, really focusing on timely notification, getting them access to that matched birth and death information. We wanted to standardize our format and reduce errors in data entry, and I'll go into this a little bit more in a moment. And we needed to do this in a secure format, so because this contains a lot of personal identifiable information. And then from a self-serving kind of perspective, we also wanted to reduce data requests from the local health departments and reduce any access to unnecessary data. So if we could provide the data to the local health departments before they asked for it, we wouldn't be getting repeated data requests for this information. The overall component here turned into the idea of creating a data file from our vital records department to the local health departments. We elected to use the Child Death Review Case Reporting System as our delivery portal, and we then would follow this with a notification to the local health departments to let them know that they had a case available for download and review. Here's what the process will look like. So, the process is initiated by the death of an infant. At that point, a death certificate will be filed with our vital records office in the Department of Health Services. When a case is identified as an infant death based on the age, that's identified by our vital records staff. This triggers a data abstraction and we match to the birth certificate data. Selected fields are pulled out. We create a matched infant death and birth certificate, which we then enter into the case reporting system. And this is done by our maternal and child health team. We follow that with a secure notification to the local health department to let them know that they have a case. This is a little you've got mail kind of message. The local health department is then able to log into the case reporting system. They use personally identifiable information and they pull the case into their jurisdiction. After looking at those components, it's up to the local team to decide whether they're going to review the case or proceed with reporting without a further review. If they continue the investigation, they will then be able to amend the case reporting system and add additional information. And then they will have their FEMR meeting where the teams are able to meet with the community members like we talked about. This is just some pictures of what we deal with on our side in the vital records office. This may represent a typical week where we would usually expect to see 7 or 8 infant deaths in a given week in Wisconsin. So our infant death file comes in, and there's many more components to this. This is just kind of a snapshot of the first screen where we see the infant's first name, last name, mother's maiden name, and then there's a whole bunch of other components we match on date of birth, and it triggers back to the birth file. The infant birth file comes like this, and again, we match on the baby's last name, first name, mother's first name, mother's maiden name in an iterative process. We create a unique identifier for both the death certificate and the birth certificate to link those, and we then mark the birth certificate as deceased. This creates a linked data file that we're able to export into Excel that gives a select components that we know the local health departments need to continue with their investigation, including the gestational age, the birth weight, the plurality if the baby was a twin or triplet, prenatal care, certain rubrics that we can code into the information, and a lot of information on the family. This is what the case reporting system looks like from the local health department point of view. If you log in, and you can see here I'm logged in as Wisconsin Training 1, this data database allows standardized, over in the yellow boxes is where I would like you to focus, to enter new cases, manage case, and look at our outcomes. So from a local point of view, this is the starting screen that I would see. From the administrator side, and several of the epidemiologists in our maternal and child health team have administrator rights into this system. So we use that access, and this is a screenshot from Dr. Grumowski, who's one of our maternal and child health epidemiologists. She will log in as an administrator and import date for case creation. So that Excel file that I showed you with the linked data is given to our MCH team, and they are able to import the case and pre-populate those fields prior to sending it to the local health departments. After the local health department receives the information that they have a case, they pull in a new case from import. So by entering fields of the date of death and the child's first and last name, they can search for available information, find the case, and pull it into their jurisdiction. At the local level, they are then able to go in and add additional information. As you can see down here, kind of on sections B, C, D, as they continue with their investigation, or if they get additional information from family interviews, from toxicology results, from law enforcement, from various sources, they may enter additional information about the caregivers, the investigation, and they can continue to amend the case. At the end of the case modification, they would then kind of close the case out, talk that they did a review, enter any narrative, and complete this form and submit it for to enter it into the database. The benefits of using this case reporting system are that we can rapidly notify local health departments of their cases. We can potentially reduce the work on that end because all of those populated fields from vital records are filled in for them. It gives us a consistent format for providing the birth and death data, and it includes reporting of cases that are both reviewed at the local level and those that they elect not to review. Overall, the goal was to improve data access from the local health department perspective to our vital records office. As I said, we're starting with the infant cases and intend to move into both child death case notification and fetal death in the future. The limitations of this are that, one, we require the local health departments to register for access to the child death review case reporting system. It's free, there's a little bit of a learning curve, but they do need to be using the same system that we are. If there are cases that are unclaimed in some of those counties that don't have an active child or infant death team, if those aren't claimed after 30 days, we have to log back in as administrators and push them to a jurisdiction. In the case of multiple reviews, again, potentially where a death occurs outside of the county of residence, we are working on a way to allow multiple counties to review it, but we just don't want it to be duplicate in the system as far as reporting. And we do have some issues that we're working through if there's an out-of-state birth or death because of some memorandum of understanding difficulties with the STEVE system. Those are a little bit trickier for us to share from the state health department. And this all sounds great, and I'm very proud that we've had our pilot run go through and we're about to go live with our first case notifications, but it's really important to understand that while we're celebrating our technology and our ability to share this data, every case that we get represents the loss of to a family in the state of Wisconsin. And really, I just want to stress that the big picture here is being able to work with our partners and have some action at the local health department level to reduce any preventable deaths in the state, in our state. I had a huge amount of help with this project. I came in not knowing really anything at all about maternal and child health or about specifically FEMR teams. From the Office of Health Informatics, Milda Aksimatouskas is my primary supervisor, and Mark Wagner is my secondary supervisor. I worked in constant contact with our vital records employees, and our maternal and child health team helped me a great deal. In addition, our partners outside of the state, which included the Children's Health Alliance of Wisconsin, all 8 local health departments took some time out of their busy schedules. Again, I'm calling them in September during the Ebola outbreak, and they were all willing to meet with me and share their experiences, which helped me get a better scope on this project. Of course, to the CDC and CSTE for my funding, and portions of this were also funded by the State Systems Development Initiative grant. I'd be happy to take questions do I have time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have 5 minutes?
Okay, great. Thank you.
So if you have any questions, please come forward to the mic to ask. We've got about 5 minutes.
I might repeat something, but how do you link birth and death?
And here.
Can you repeat the question?
Are you asking how we're able to link the birth and death record?
Yeah, I might miss it, but what did you do?
We have, there's coding that's written, and actually once we started the project, I happily realized that this work was essentially already being done. Wisconsin is a PRAMS state, so we have a pregnancy risk assessment monitoring system. And because we're PRAMS, and that's a separate survey that's not linked to this, but a PRAMS survey goes out to all new mothers in the state to ask their experiences on their pregnancy. Because we send those surveys out, we are very careful to identify any early infant losses. And so through PRAMS funding, the Vital Records Office was already linking those systems. So if we know that we have an infant death, we immediately mark those birth certificates as deceased so that we don't accidentally send a survey to someone who's just lost their baby. The process of doing that linkage is an iterative process where they match on the baby's last name, first name, date of birth, mother's maiden name, and then mother's first name. It goes through a 5-step matching and then produces a match list, and it gives us a confirmed, a probable, or a possible match that then has to be hand-coded at this time to accept or reject the match. If we accept the match, then the two unique identifiers in our electronic system are linked. We tie those two records together, the death certificate number and the birth certificate number, and the birth certificate is then permanently marked as a deceased.
So do they use SAS?
With SAS, mm-hmm. Yes.
How do they solve the problem of the misspelling or handwriting errors?
It's a great question. We have we have a large Hmong society in Wisconsin, and that's one of the groups that we consistently have misspellings identified. It's done by hand, essentially. If it's a confirmed match, and a lot of them are, you know, they're a perfect match on all of the spellings, then those are accepted. The ones that come up as a probable or possible because of misspellings, changes in the mother's maiden name, some other reporting issues, those we go through those by hand. Again, in this case, we're talking about 400 or so cases per year, and I would say about 75% are a confirmed match, and then about 100 have to be hand-identified and accepted as if they come up to us via SAS as a probable or possible match. Does that answer your question?
Well, I'm just a follow-up question. How do you do the probable match? What do you use? What procedure?
The question. The question is, what do we do if it's a probable or possible match based on misspellings or any inconsistencies between the birth certificate and death certificate information? Is that the question? We may be making phone calls. We may be calling the hospital. We may be researching, going to address, going to other factors.
Right, but you talked more about. Wait a second. I'm interested in more technique. So SAS technique. So do you don't do that job, right?
That comes out.
Vital statistics unit doing it.
We have a vital statistics. Yeah, doing it. I can get you in touch with them, though. I'd be happy to get you in contact. Any other questions? Thank you.